You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
That ball into center field, well struck. Tavares on the move, still going back. That ball will be off the wall. One run will score. Dubon right behind Hensley. He's going to score. Astros retake the lead 3-2. A two RBI double by Jose Altuve.
There you go, and they would beat the Rangers 5-3 last night. No surprise there. The bigger story was a rumor that surfaced after the game. Pat Ragazzo, who is actually a New York Mets beat writer, tweeted
Ragazzo,
the following.
Get the Italian right. What
Gabagool,
are you doing?
Pat Ragazzo.
Anti-Italian discrimination over here. Classic Midwest.
I love Olive Garden. Houston Astros recently offered Michael Conforto a two-year, $30 million deal. That was per Pat Ragazzo, again, New York Mets beat writer. Conforto has until the end of the day to sign with the team or else he won't be eligible for postseason, is what was reported. This was a controversial, as soon as this hit the news waves that this was a rumor, Astros fans, from what I saw, we're not very happy of it. He hasn't played since October 3rd of last year. He has had an injury, and Mark Berman of Fox 26 promptly tweeted that Scott Boras said that it was not true that an offer had been made.
He had shoulder surgery in April. So I'm all for getting outfield depth, but Boras said this season, too, about Conforto, there's a chance that he could DH for a contending team in September. I hear a guy's had shoulder surgery. We saw Jake Myers maybe have some issues to the point where Dusty Baker wasn't comfortable playing him in the outfield and put Mauricio Dubon instead over the last couple of games before they sent Myers down. I wonder if they would feel comfortable playing this guy in the outfield even with the lack of depth that they have, given that he might have a shoulder issue of some sort.
Yeah, Mark Berman's exact tweet, by the way, when asked about the report, Scott Boras said the Astro offer isn't accurate. That doesn't necessarily mean the Astros didn't offer him. It just means the two-year contract worth $30 million that was offered might not have been the right number.
They should be in on this. I just wonder if he'll actually get on the field, you know? The way Dusty manages things, it's never a foregone conclusion.
You never know. We've beat the drum. When Trey Mancini was traded, we thought we'd see him in the lineup almost every day, and that definitely hasn't happened. So we'll see if this comes through and if DB does anything with him. You, meanwhile, had some insomnia last night.
I did.
And you created some thoughts, of which you posted to social media, on one Christian Javier.
Thank you very much. Yeah, at the one says, at Sports Vanessa, at Sean A. Mabe. So I tweeted out last night, after taking a look back and watching it, I've always liked Christian Javier. And I remember in the first inning of the game that they just played, there were some people who were like, oh, see, he's got a walk. He gives up a home run. He walks somebody else. But this guy mows bleepers down. He just strikes them out left and right. And he gets them out swinging. And I've loved that about him. I didn't know the numbers on him, though. So I figured, all right, let's see what his strikeouts are.
Now, did you do this math yourself?
No, okay. I went on. I went
I'd
on a website.
Really impressed.
I have done math myself before, and I have felt the worst part has been tweeting about it and getting a little reaction to it. But anyway, back to this.
Sean had something to say.
No. I just want to see Paul at his whiteboard in his office, working out, dividing innings and strikeouts.
I've done it with an Excel spreadsheet before. Don't get me started. If you want me to dive into a nerdy project,
all right.
Mr. 700 on his math portion of his SAT will do it.
Humble brag. All right,
Not a humble brag. Christian Javier is 13th in all of baseball in strikeouts. Okay. All of baseball. He has more than Justin Verlander. He has more than Framber Valdez. I did not know that. Another thing I did not know, and it's, I guess, not 100% accurate because he hasn't pitched the minimum amount of innings to put him up in this conversation. He is second in all of baseball in strikeouts per nine innings. The guy is a strikeout machine. He's 25 years old. He has an extremely team-friendly deal, which has him under team control the next 3 years. I am not advocating moving on from Justin Verlander after this season. They should try to keep him. But if this is your fifth starter, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. He's 25 years old and strikes people out left and right. Isn't that what you want?
Yeah.
And if you don't want him as a starter, you can put him in the bullpen. I just wanted to give Christian Javier a little bit of love.
There you go.
He's getting more of an opportunity, obviously, now with Justin Verlander on the disabled injured list.
I mean, the intangible, he's gotten a lot more comfortable in general, and he has looked good. The Yankees, by the way, who once had a 15.5 game lead in the AL East, now have a 6-game lead over the Rays with 31 games left. That calls, ladies and gents, for a Yankees watch.
Yankees watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
Give it to us, Paul.
Vanessa, 6 games is still a lot of games. We're talking about the Bronx Bombers. And look, whatever. They lose 2 or 3 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in California, whatever. Look, it's all about Aaron Judge. All rise for Aaron Judge. He's making history. And that history he's making is going to help the Yankees make history. My beloved Yanks, you think they're down. You think they're out. That's what everyone thought about New York after 9/11. We showed them.
Oh, my.
Sure, we lost in the World Series right afterwards and let our whole city down. We always rise from the ashes. You don't get it. You're laughing. He's laughing, too. You just don't get it. You know, when you're in a city that never sleeps, you're just tougher, okay? I don't know why my Boston accent is coming out all of a sudden.
No, you're keep at it.
Listen, you just don't get it. 6 games is nothing. Say gabagool. Forget about it. Gabagool. We're gazing.
That's Yankees watch 2022. That lead has been slashed, though, so we'll see what happens. They have a lot of games
against.
It's nuts
that it's 6.
The Rays coming up.
And the Astros lead over them in the AL, too. Just continues to increase more and more and more.
You had a question about what Astros fans would rather see. You brought up that I thought was interesting. Would Astros fans rather see Aaron Judge pass the home run record? He's currently at 51. Or the Dodgers potentially set the record for wins in a season. They're at 90. They need 116.
Let's say the home run record is 61 when Roger Maris set it instead of, 70 and the Mark McGwire number and the Sammy Sosa numbers. He's going to break it with the way that he has been hitting of late. And it's his second 50-plus home run season. There is a part of me that does not want to see Aaron Judge reach history, like wants to see him flame out for the entirety of the rest month of the last month of the year because I am that petty. But, man, even though it's going to be really hard for the Dodgers to get the all-time record for wins in a season, I don't want that to happen. I want Aaron Judge to get the home run record of those two possibilities, because when he leaves in free agency, it's going to make it that much sweeter.
I think the majority of Astros fans would agree with you. If the Dodgers set a record for the most wins in a season, it will only encourage their fan base to more and more. The Astros stole it from it, etc. I think that will get very old very quickly. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galan, a little college football draft action ahead of our gambling segment. But first, Paul's going to tell you about boxing.
The fight of all fights, Andy Ruiz. Andy the Destroyer Ruiz Jr., Luis King Kong Ortiz. It is Sunday night, 8 o'clock on Fox for pay-per-view. Come on, guys. You want to get in this. It's an epic night of fights with the former champ, Ruiz Jr., squaring off against Ortiz. But you've also got Isaac Pitbull Cruz. You know him. Eduardo Ramirez. The return of Abner Meraz versus Miguel Flores, Jose Valenzuela versus Jezreel Corrales. Again, it's Sunday at 8 o'clock Central. And look, I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're looking for something to do on the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, right? Because there's no NFL action going on. Oh, there's going to be a couple of college football games. No, this is the prime sporting event to go and bring your buddies together, get the pay-per-view, crack open a few cold ones, and watch this again. It's 8 o'clock Central Sunday night on Fox pay-per-view. Andy Ruiz, Luis Ortiz. You don't want to miss it.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Galant.
So this time every Thursday, we do our world-famous gambling segment, and we say that sarcastically because we are learning on the go how to bet, how to gamble, all those things as it kind of takes over the sports industry.
I feel like I'm getting better and better.
Same.
As it.
Shout out to Circa and BUSR, our friends who have helped us.
Yes, BUSR.com/ESPN, you know, the
And then if you're in Vegas, stay at Circa. There you go.
Boom. So as we get closer and closer to the actual start of the regular season, I thought to myself, well, what could be very fun for us to do? Because obviously, you know, we're learning on the fly. So how about this, Vanessa?
Okay.
This is a game I'm proposing. I like fantasy football drafts. I like to do drafts as well. We're going to do a draft of college programs that are only in Texas or the states bordering Texas.
Bordering, okay.
New Mexico, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana. So you have to pick schools that are from there. And here's how it's going to work. As the season goes along, you get 1 point for every single win that that program gets. If that program wins their conference, they get 5 points. And if one of them makes it to the college football playoff, they get 10 points.
Okay.
So here's how we're going to do it. We each get three teams, and at the end of the year, whoever has the most points
wins.
We each get three.
Okay.
You each get three teams.
All right.
So I determined a draft order in the break. We're going to go with the one and only Sean Mapes first, because ladies last. Sean Mapes, here you go.
With the first overall pick in the 2022 local college football team's draft, it's Texas, Louisiana, blah, 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 blah. I am taking Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Sooners.
Oklahoma, okay. So per BUSR.com/ESPN.
Yes, all lines by BUSR.
They are plus 175 to win the Big 12, the favorite, and the over-under for them this year
this
is 9.5.
This also means you're a bad Texas alum, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You are a traitor.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm here to win. And if there's nothing more Texan than being, I will anything for the dollar. I assume we win money after this. Anything to make money. I will.
Politics, am I right?
The first Bevo that ever UT had after it died. The university president ate it. They cooked them and ate them. If that is not a metaphor, I don't know what is. Give me Oklahoma. Brent Venables. Bringing that Clemson defense, he's one of the best defensive coordinators in college football. And OU for, I don't know, but like over a decade, the Achilles heel has been defense. They're always good on offense. They're bringing Jeff Lebby as their offensive coordinator. He was the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss last year. Had the most successful season in Ole Miss history. So offense should be good. Dylan Gabriel as the transfer quarterback. And I think they have a good chance to make the playoff, especially if they win the Big 12. And that's where a lot of the points are. It's getting to the playoff.
There you
go. This one's tough because that's the one that everyone wants, of course, at the top. Oklahoma is a very nice pick. I'm feeling some similar vibes that Desmond Howard is. I think that Baylor's got a shot to make it.
Oh, my God. Is this John McClain
to the playoff? Look, they won the Big 12 last year.
I
know that they're changing quarterbacks. It's Blake Shapen. Who knows what happens when you have a new quarterback in there. But, man, they've done a really good job of retooling that program post-Art Briles. I feel like right now, if I have the second pick and Oklahoma's not there, I got to take Baylor. So now, Vanessa, you are on the clock with the third pick of the colleges that are in Texas or its bordering states draft.
In Jimbo, I trust. I'm going with Texas A&M, baby. Let's go Aggies, even though I can't stand the fact that they have the random sailor male cheerleaders. I don't know what they're called.
Whoa.
But
come on, they're
core
hunky.
The core cadets?
Whoa. Yes. They're hunk. Guys, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know.
She wants some. She wants some lady cheerleaders on the sideline.
Hey, Vanessa.
I want some what?
Lady cheerleaders.
Lady cheerleaders. Well, they don't have. They
I didn't
only
hear
have
what you said. I just heard cheerleaders, so I was like, yeah. But then I was like, maybe I should double check on what Sean just said. Look, I think that Jimbo has a good recruiting class. I think it's heading in the right direction. Their schedule is what it is. It's never going to be easy. They're Texas A&M, but that is my pick.
That's the tricky one. Now, if they do, I mean, if they end up pulling this off, like, that's the problem for them. They have the biggest odds against them because I was thinking about it myself.
Yeah, but honestly, if they just win every game except for the Alabama game, they probably still make the playoff. They don't have to actually win their conference.
They have to win
the
conference. Yeah. And with that, I give you my second pick.
Yes.
Keeping it local. Go Cougs.
Damn it.
Very good.
Damn it.
Very
plus
good.
Plus 242 to win the AAC, second behind Cincinnati.
See, they're going to probably win 10, 11 games and win the American Athletic Conference.
It's all about strategy, baby.
Yeah, that was a good pick.
Don't call it a
Damn
comeback.
It. I was really hoping that they would fall to me at that one. Now, this is where it gets really tricky. Shoot. All right. So my options that are still left. I got to go with the Cowboys. I'm going with Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Oklahoma State also, I think, has a chance to win the Big 12. So I basically am just praying that Oklahoma doesn't make it. I should get my 5 points from a conference victory. And also, I'm hoping that Oklahoma State and Baylor do well. I will be going, hopefully, to Oklahoma State and Baylor's game, which is in early October,
Fun.
If I'm not mistaken. I have yet to go to Baylor Stadium, so I'm looking forward to that, assuming that everything goes according to plan.
All right.
Sean, you're on the clock.
So my pick, okay, just to reset, I took Oklahoma with my first pick. Baylor was Paul's first pick.
Yep.
Vanessa took A&M and U of H at the turn, and then Paul just took
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. That is basically all,
a lot of good
teams on the board. So now I will dip down, not down, I'll just dip to Conference USA. All conferences are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take the UTSA Roadrunners.
Hell yeah.
I'm keeping it in the UT system. I too went to UT System School. Shout out to UT Tyler, not in this draft. But I'll take UTSA. Jeff Traylor is a great coach. They are they had to replace Sincere McCormick, a great running back, but they have a Arkansas transfer coming in, and they have very good odds to win Conference USA. So there we go.
That's a good one.
Tough out of conference schedule though, because they play U of H and UT.
They play U of H on Saturday, right? At TDECU Stadium. Where no one gets out alive.
Oh, is that at TDECU? I thought it was at the Alamo Dome.
No. I plan on going to that game also on Saturday. Yeah. Shout out to my Cougs. Show me where the good tailgates are at, please.
There you go.
All right, Sean, you get another pick.
Another pick. I then will go. Hold on, let me double check. Not a lot of New Mexico love. I'll tell you that. I don't think
New Mexico is the worst team in college football. A pair of these odds.
This is tough. There's no part of my heart that enjoys doing this, but at this point in the draft, I have to. I am taking the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah.
Oh.
Showing that love.
At this point, it's hard not to. It'd be insulting not to. They do have some upside to actually win the conference. Vegas freaking loves them for some reason. I'm not as high. I'm hoping to get 7 wins out of this, but I'm taking Texas.
That's a terrible job by me, by the way, not knowing that the UH is not playing. They are playing in the Alamo Dome. How did I not know that? I just played my whole weekend around that. What am I going to do now?
I could have sworn it was.
Thank you, Twitch. Good God, I'm so bad at this. All right, well that was a nice pick. Okay, we have two picks left.
It was a nice pick. I did it because I had to.
The reset. Sean has Oklahoma. He has UTSA and UT. I have Baylor and Oklahoma State. Vanessa's A&M and UH. I feel like Vanessa's going to get the most votes. Say we were to put this up for a poll. Definitely got the most people voting for you.
Yeah. You're playing to the audience. I like it. I respect it.
Okay.
I'm playing to the odds, baby. I'm a gambler.
There we go. Gambling okay. Man. Woman.
Woman. And woman.
We forgot to play the song. We have to play it after our draft.
Okay, this is tricky. So left on the board, TCU's still there. You have LSU if you really want to get crazy. You have Arkansas. And I'm going to go with Arkansas.
You totally didn't just talk it out right there.
Yeah, you know what? I was just like, you know what? They have the best. And per BUSR.com/ESPN, +5,200 to win the SEC, but they're over-under 7.5. I feel more confident in Arkansas than I do in LSU.
Yeah, at this point, you're looking for wins, not really conference wins.
Yeah.
Do you get the other pick then, since it's a snake? Do you get
no,
another one?
No, you get the last pick of the draft.
Okay. This is the last pick. Mr. Irrelevant, or Team Irrelevant.
College Irrelevant.
Sometimes
screw
you
your college.
Here's the most irrelevant college in this draft.
So irrelevant. Less than UTSA, less than UH.
Hmm.
Sucks to suck.
This is difficult. But sometimes you have to zig when everybody expects you to zag.
Okay.
Let's go UL Lafayette. Let's do a little Sun Belt action.
Ooh, the Raging Cajuns?
Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
There
That's
you
a
go.
Good one.
They basically, in their division in the Sun Belt West, they have a free pass to
yep.
the Sun Belt Championship.
Let's go.
Okay.
LFG.
I like it. So Vanessa gets A&M, UH, and UL Lafayette. I got Arkansas, Oklahoma State, and Baylor. And Sean is Oklahoma and UTSA plus UT. He picked UTSA before UT, by the way.
I also realized that I had no reason. I had both picks back-to-back, and I picked UTSA over UT.
I like that you made Steve Sarkisian earn it.
Yeah.
He's not putting a depth chart out. You know what? You're worse than UTSA.
I also didn't have a depth chart going into this draft.
Guys, this was fun. All right, what's on the line, though?
Bragging rights.
Okay.
Bragging
well,
rights.
Cheap.
Shoot. I mean, what can we put on the line?
How about just a round of drinks?
Yeah.
Round of drinks.
Round of drinks.
I'll do that. I can do that.
Guys, that's a lot on the line. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, denying is a funny thing, but it's something that a certain NFL quarterback loves to do. Baker Mayfield denying that he said something very controversial. You got to hear his response. That's coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
All right. Honey came in and she got me red-handed, creeping with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Great song by Shaggy, a little throwback, because Shaggy in that song says, it wasn't me.
I have a question. Did you ever know what the hell he was saying?
To be a cool player, you have to know how to play. I will say now, in the era where we can look up lyrics really easily, it'd probably be easier to sing along with that song.
It's a good point. I never had any clue what the hell he was
and
saying.
And that was Shaggy's biggest hit, by the way.
It was.
But like some of his other songs, like Mr. Boombastic, I actually liked better. But shout out to Shaggy. Baker said it wasn't him,
you are
by the way.
My angel.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Also, I totally thought Shaggy was the guy singing and not the with the verses.
No, Shaggy was the one rapping.
Yeah. Today I learned.
There you go.
I thought he was both.
Wait,
guys.
You just learned that today?
Yeah, right.
Happy
now.
To educate you. All right, so just to give you guys a little bit of reset, I think most people have heard of this, but Cynthia Freeland told a story on the Around the NFL podcast.
Fake news.
Huh?
Might have been fake news.
Yeah. She had told the guys on the Around the NFL podcast that Baker told her he's going to, quote, F them up. She walked up to him apparently and said, hey, go kick butt against the Browns this year. And according to Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network, Baker said, I'm going to F them up. She tells the story on the Around the NFL podcast. People become, I don't know if you want to say outraged, but it definitely made headlines. Baker has been known for his immaturity, for his comments in the last year, etc. Here's Baker Mayfield on whether or not he actually said that.
Baker.
How closely does that resemble how you feel about Cleveland next week?
Well, first, I didn't say it. Obviously, I mean, everybody's going to write whatever story they want. There's history that I've played there the last 4 years. I'm an extremely competitive person. Everybody knows that. If I wasn't wanting to win, then there would be a really big issue of me being quarterback here. So I want to win in everything I do. That'll never change. Now, that is not how I phrased it. That's not even what I said. So I'll just leave it at that.
Do you believe him?
No. Cynthia Freeland tried to walk this back twice, by the way, after everybody exploded. She tried to walk it back on
time.
Twitter, and then she tried to walk it back on TV on the NFL All Access. And what she said on NFL All Access was something along the lines of, it's not a big deal. It was just like when you see somebody at a wedding and you know that their ex-boyfriend is there and you say, hell yeah, you know, revenge body type deal. She made it more about her and what she said and the buildup, but she never denied that Baker said it. Because I don't think she's lying. I think she told a story that Baker assumed was off the record.
Because it should have stayed off the record.
Right.
This is one of those things where you got to know.
Yeah.
The way that someone talks about somebody, would they say that publicly? If they wouldn't say it publicly, they want you to keep it to yourself. And honestly, that's a way for you to get perhaps more juicy stuff from that person down the road if you're putting your reporter hat on, is to eat it. Just don't talk about it. I feel for Baker here. Because obviously that's something he would say. I mean, of course he would say it. He's got to be pissed about this whole situation. He played a whole season where he was injured, and yeah, he didn't play very well. But they should have just benched him for Case Keenum instead of having him continue to go out there week in, week out when they had the most expensive backup quarterback at the time in the NFL. And instead, he played there every single week. And yeah, sure, maybe some of his teammates didn't like him, but they replaced him with legitimately a deviant. Like, they did. They replaced him with a deviant who no one likes.
There are shades of gray here because Baker Mayfield played hurt. Baker Mayfield helped bring Cleveland their first playoff win in three decades. Baker Mayfield helped the Cleveland Browns through a lot of things. And then we heard the Chris Mortensen report where he reported on television that, quote, the Browns wanted an adult in the room. That was not the right move by the Haslams, who are so clearly are the ones that said that to Chris Mortensen. Baker Mayfield has every right to feel slighted. Has he also set himself up for criticism by acting immature, by releasing a goodbye letter to Cleveland months before they even said goodbye to him? Yeah, I mean, he's definitely set himself up to be criticized. At the same time, I see where he would want to, quote-unquote, F up the Cleveland Browns.
What quarterback wouldn't want to F up the team they're playing to?
Russell Wilson will never say it, but you don't think he wants to F up
the Seahawks? He wants to destroy Seattle, 100%. He wants to rub it in Pete Carroll's face. And honestly, for whatever his faults, I don't blame him for feeling that way. He feels like Pete Carroll has held him back. I think he's wrong in that mentality. But, you know, just like people say, like, well, facts don't care about your feelings. Well, feelings don't care about your facts either.
Ooh.
Well, they don't, you know?
I like that.
Just got deep with
that. That was very good. Did you come up with that?
I was going to say,
I've said this a million times. A bunch of other people have said this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, I just always got annoyed. But, like, facts don't care about your feelings. Well, like, tell that to somebody who's pissed at you. Like, that's not going to change their mind on things. Do you think Baker's going to do well in Carolina?
I think that he's going to do well in Carolina. I think Carolina has the team that has
good defense.
They had this discussion on Good Morning Football, and this is something we could circle back to at some point, because I do think it's an interesting topic of which team will see the most additions in number of wins. So will it be the Jacksonville Jags, who, how many games did they win last year? Was it two?
Yeah.
It was two. I mean, if they win five and they win three more games, I think the Panthers could be on that list of teams that do see, now I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but do I think they could see an improvement if they're able to stay healthy? And that includes, obviously, Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, I mean, I think he could be okay. We saw Myles Garrett respond to this, by the way, the initial report.
Yeah.
He had said, quote, "We've known Baker has that type of demeanor and that attitude, and for better or for worse, it works for him. It does the same for us as well. We'll take it and we'll use it."
I was just going to sack him, but now I'm going to hit him in the head with my helmet, because that's what I do. That's how I roll. He crossed the line. I'm kidding. Look, there's also going to be motivation from some of the Browns players about this, too, because I bet there are some Browns players who are like, yeah, he was a little annoying and he wasn't a great leader. I mean, clearly there was a divide in that locker room with how people actually felt about him. And while a lot of these guys aren't going to speak publicly about it, they might speak privately to someone like Cynthia Freeland and assume that she won't actually continue to talk about it in public. I wonder, though, about his situation offensively. I get the whole, hey, like, the NFC South's worse this year. Like, I don't know that the Bucs are going to be as good as they've been in the last two seasons. The Falcons are going to suck. The Saints, there's no, you know, Sean Payton there anymore.
Right.
But you got Matt Rhule as the guy who's in charge, and you got a guy in Ben McAdoo who questioned you in the past as your offensive coordinator, and a wide receiver in Robbie Anderson who clearly wanted to keep rolling with one Sam Darnold, who now can't play because of a busted ankle. Does he have the best people around him? So I want to see him do well. I do think that he got kind of screwed over by this whole situation in Cleveland without knowing what's going on behind the scenes. But I don't have a lot of faith in the supporting cast offensively around him. It's really all about, is Christian McCaffrey going to make it through a whole season?
It's also an injured team. It's not just Christian McCaffrey. I mean, what, don't they have two quarterbacks that are currently injured? Their number two and number three quarterbacks are currently injured. It's just a franchise that has
had a great offensive line in front of them.
In some elements, some bad luck. Here's the thing. If you're Baker Mayfield, you can't have this kind of attitude and then not win, right? It's similar, now follow me on this, ish, to Russell Wilson, in that if you talk this much and if you act like your former team was holding you back this much, when you get that second chance, let's ride. You know, seriously, you better win games. You're not being humble. You're not saying, I hope I do well. You're talking smack, which I love, by the way. I'm pro talking smack, but you have to put your money where your mouth is.
People will expect that to happen with Russ. Do you think that after, say, the Panthers beat a Deshaun Watson-less Browns team that does have talent in week one, will opinions be changed about Baker Mayfield, or are people still going to say, no, I need to see a full season?
They'll need to see a full season.
I think it's the latter.
Yeah, it's not just going to be one. All right, the petty level of this is high, but I do believe that Baker Mayfield did say this. I think he's lying.
Yeah, me too.
In his, I don't want to say in his defense, but Cynthia, what's that from 21 Jump Street? Do you remember that movie, 21 Jump Street?
I vaguely remember. Might have been before Sean's time.
We're the same age.
Wait, what'd you say, Paul?
Have you seen?
He said it might have, 21 Jump Street might have been before your time.
No, I was like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
Were you allowed to see it? It's rated R.
Probably not. I need
Jonah Hill does a speech. Cynthia, Jesus died. for us.
Oh, yeah, when he does, like, slam poetry.
Slam
yeah.
poetry. Squirrel, ADHD. But I do think that she probably is telling the truth. Whenever you hear of a TV person getting not even in trouble but controversy, it usually happens when they go on these podcasts and get really comfortable and say something on air or tell a story that they shouldn't tell.
Yeah, when you like say like that, like Baker Mayfield like wants to like, you know, like bleep up like the Browns, like. It's pretty simple.
Paul's making fun of the fact that she said like a lot. Yes, she did.
She was clearly
she's
uncomfortable
very,
saying it.
She's
she
very intelligent. So.
I agree. Look, you hear her say that clip. I'm just, you could tell she felt uncomfortable saying it. She should have just said nothing.
There won't be any trust between her.
And
the
anyone.
Sad thing is, since she's not a regular newsbreaker or Nuggets person, she is literally like a data science person. Nobody will ever say anything to her again because they're like, well, Cynthia's just going to say this on air.
They might eventually, but she's going to have to make some amends, and it's going to take some, you know, trust building again.
Yeah, Baker's got to put his money where his mouth is. Got to learn. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, have you ever found out somebody died way after they died? That happened with a B-list celebrity in The Sound. Whoa. You got to hear it. That's next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it happens. When Mikhail Gorbachev died a couple days ago, Mr. Gorbachev broke down that wall. A lot of people said he's still alive. Nobody knew. Apparently that happened to Clueless star Stacey Dash.
Whoa. Yeah. I didn't know that Gorbachev was dead when Ronald Reagan said Mr. Gorbachev trailed down this wall.
He died 2 days ago.
Oh.
And what a lot of people were saying was they thought that he had died forever ago. They're like,
yeah.
That dude's still alive?
You know what? Shocker to me, too. I thought Ronald Reagan pulled a fast one. Okay, sorry. Continue with the story.
Yeah, so Stacey Dash, this guy, Squirrel, Stacey Dash finds out yesterday that one of her favorite singers is dead. She was devastated.
Okay, I'm ashamed. I didn't know. I didn't know DMX died. I didn't know. From a cocaine overdose.
Oh my God.
DMX. Okay, it's not funny that DMX, legendary rapper, passed away, but he died on April 9th, 2021. He died a year and a half ago.
Oh boy. That's rough. Do you think that, okay, is it possible that the reason that she's this emotional about it is because they, I don't know, hung out?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like if they would have had a thing, she would have known he died.
Possibly.
Because her friends would have texted her and been like, oh my God, you dated DMX back in the day and now he's dead.
Okay,
so
yeah,
I don't
that
feel
makes
like,
sense.
I don't feel like, Stacey Dash is known for being very, she doesn't go out a lot. She's got really, really conservative views, which, you know, whatever, who cares?
That's all I know her about for today. I forgot she was on Clueless.
Have you guys ever found out somebody died and you, like, thought that they were already dead?
Yes. That happens all the time. Bob Dole. I thought he was dead for, like, 10 years.
That was
a great
one. He died
last year. He might have died after DMX.
Bob Dole's a moron.
Bob Dole did die after DMX. Yeah. Gorbachev was definitely one for me where I was like, wait, the wall guy that Ronald Reagan worked with and caused world peace or something?
That was news to me.
Also, one of the Steinbrenners died. The Steinbrenner brothers died
in
March of COVID,
or
like March 2020. And it kind of, you know, other stuff was going on. And so every once in a while, people will like, Yankees fans will like tweet out that they're upset at both Hank and Hal Steinbrenner.
Rest in peace.
One of them's dead.
Hank passed away. Hal is the other ones. I don't know. Maybe, you know, use different letters for some of your kids' names instead of having them all the same one.
Yeah.
Make it easier for the media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's definitely about what George Steinbrenner should have done.
Yeah. That's what you think about when you name your kids.
Edwin Diaz is known to have the best intro in all of baseball for a closer. His walk-up music is incredible. It's Trump by Timothy Trumpet. Trumpet the Timothy?
I think
Trumpet.
It's Narcos by Timmy Trumpet.
Narcos by Timmy Trumpet. Thank you.
I think so.
If you haven't seen it, the guy that directs New York Mets broadcast has a film background. Mm-hmm. And so it went viral, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yes.
that angle that they did where they showed him from behind. They showed the audience. It was really cool. Timmy Trumpet himself came to MetLife Stadium, I believe it's called, and put on quite the show. What were your thoughts?
Too much fun.
Too much fun.
Listen.
I thought it was cool. I love a good trumpet.
It's too cool for baseball. Baseball can't have something like this.
I love to see Mets fans having fun. They've been through so much.
No, I like to see them continue to go through it. You know, it's fun to watch just absolutely miserable fan bases eat it over and over.
Easy
and
to
over
say as Astros
again.
Fans, by the way.
Yes, it is, because you have to enjoy other people's misery in addition to enjoying things yourself, because the odds are you aren't going to win a World Series. So you may as well enjoy the misery of others. Don't forget 1986. Okay, they beat the Astros in 1986. You guys don't know how to hold a grudge. I'm looking at both of you. And so I feel like this is too much fun for baseball. Someone's got to charge the mound on Edwin Diaz now, because you can't throw at him because there's designated hitters in the National League. It's outrageous. It is ridiculous. Like, they're bringing a guy out with a trumpet to announce a reliever coming into the game.
Yeah, but
calm
it's fun.
Down.
Everybody has little trumpets. Mr. and Mrs. Met have fake trumpets. Everybody gets into it. It's fun.
Too fun.
Sports should be fun.
Not this
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, no. They really are just... They're taking the closer walkout, you know, intro music, what's it called? Tradition, I guess, in baseball. And just building on it by making it like a live event. Now, if this guy starts stinking, they gotta scrap
point.
It. They gotta
That's
start throwing out
point.
The trumpets.
You have to... It looks like Enter Sandman vibes. It's iconic.
Well, what? Do we need to give Ryan Pressly, when he comes out of the bullpen, to Scott Stapp? Do we need to hire him from Creed?
Ryan Pressly has a great song coming out of the bullpen.
What is it?
He is God's Gonna Cut You Down by Johnny Cash, which is one of the last songs Johnny Cash recorded before he died.
Okay.
It's a very, very intense song. It gets Ryan Pressly in the mood.
Well,
So we don't have to stress-ly with Ryan Pressly.
This might be cultural appropriation, but I don't know. Like, you got to one up this trumpet then if you're the Astros.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there a mariachi band? Like, what can we do that's fun to also do something like this? Because either I want this to stop or I want to join in. Likely, I want the stopping.
You think it's overplayed?
It's too much for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm becoming old and I like unwritten rules. I think you are.
Bleeping reliever.
Yeah.
You wanted someone to charge the mound.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fine.
Because he comes out to trumpets.
Da, da, da,
he's not Mariano
da,
Rivera.
Da, da,
he's very good.
Da,
but like,
da, 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 da,
it's ridiculous.
Da, 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 da. I
want to see
awesome.
Him. I want to see him get taken yard on the first pitch he throws now. Like every single
just
time.
Just to blow the World Series.
Yes, just to blow the trumpets.
If it were the Yankees or the Dodgers, let's throw it back. The Cardinals, anybody that I wouldn't like it, but it's the Mets. They've been through a lot. They deserve a fun closer.
Paul's going to point at us and say, remember 1986?
Yeah, none of us were, because none of us were alive, including you.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I knew.
Yeah, but you knew.
I knew when I was just...
In my mother's womb.
Or, yeah, well, I don't even think I was... Yeah, that wasn't that year.
All right.
No. That was 1988.
For garbage time.
The conception.
Da, 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 da.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Which makes me, remember, speaking of other memories, oh, I hear that trumpet, I just think of Santa Anna marching into Texas, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, invading the Republic
remember
of Texas.
Remember 1836.
Yeah, exactly.
The Alamo. Speaking of MLB, you have a beef to pick. This is more old man Paul.
Oh, yeah.
With Mr. Hernandez.
Look. Saying on my rundowns.
What? Are you okay?
I'm filibustering.
It's something to do with
are you filibustering? Because you're kind of just muttering into
you
the
You are the one that wrote it. Something about, I like the Batum.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Angel Hernandez. Sorry. Thank you. Look, my rundown was just showing blank. And this is what happens. I have a squirrel brain. So we didn't talk about this yesterday. Angel Hernandez had just some outrageously bad calls in Tuesday's game between the Astros and Rangers.
Yes, he did.
Like, one, helped the Astros get a run because he walked in somebody with the bases loaded. I think it was Yuli Gurriel. It was, like, clearly outside. And then there was another player where the same thing. I think, was it Alex Bregman who struck out? I don't know. So, baseball and Angel Hernandez have been going back and forth because Angel Hernandez feels that he was a victim of discrimination and being kept out of some of the biggest baseball playoff games. Baseball released a 58-page report highlighting how awful he is at his job. You have to resign. if you're Angel Hernandez after this. And I love watching Angel Hernandez out there. I think it's actually hilarious to see an umpire be so bad at his job and just drive everybody crazy and then throw people out of the games when they dare to question his terrible eyesight. But they released a 58-page report where they said that you're short-tempered, you're quick on the trigger finger to eject people, you don't have good vision of the strike zone.
Your breath stinks.
You've missed a bunch of different calls. I don't know if the breath stinking was a part of it, but Sean, Vanessa, he has to resign after this. 58 pages. Imagine someone just makes this public, 58 pages highlighting how bad you are at anything. It's you have to go into hiding now.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
I do like Angel Hernandez.
We just need a Paul get off my lawn segment.
I like Angel Hernandez as a chaos agent, though.
Yeah,
where,
that's true.
No matter, it's like having a fan be the umpire.
You have no idea
what's going
to
happen.
And he likes it. It's like Major Teddy Valentine. Let me take you back to the Big Ten basketball days. Teddy Valentine vibes.
Yeah, after Joe West retires, now if Angel Hernandez is like the last of a dying breed of awful umps that throw people out of games.
And we need awful umps, okay? Bad umps, good. Trumpets.
Oh, come on. Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriend aged out. She turned 25. So he has a new girlfriend. She is a 22-year-old Russian model. And last check, she was married to a Syrian warlord.
Jesus.
They may be divorced by now. Either way, she cares about the environment. So does Leonardo DiCaprio. Maybe it's meant to be, baby.
Mm. How exactly do you become a warlord?
I don't know.
Does he put on his taxes that he's a warlord? What is a warlord? I've only heard it in movies.
I think you have to be kind of born into it and has to be like a way of life.
You could be a lord of war. Like the guy, the angel, the merchant of death who's getting traded for Brittany Griner. I don't know if that's actually happening, by the way.
Yeah, what? Is she still over there?
Yes.
That's been oddly quiet.
Good.
All right.
We have things going on in our back. There's a lot of people that are in jail in the U.S. for weed. Let's relax about Britney for a while. She's there. It's Russia. Whatever. Back to this. A warlord, I would imagine, is somebody who, has a bunch of control over a set area of land in a country that maybe doesn't have the best government or something like that. So to go from that to Leonardo DiCaprio, I don't know. I feel like this guy, if he wanted to, could probably take out Leonardo.
She definitely likes chaos, that's for sure. There was a story last year proving that Leonardo DiCaprio does not date women over the age of 25, despite the fact that he's 44. My favorite tweet comes from a random woman on Twitter who said, everyone assumes he's the one breaking up with these 25-year-olds. What really happens is that once a woman's brain finishes developing at age 25, she realizes she doesn't want to be with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm,
very possible.
Nice spin zone. I don't know about that.
I saw another one that was maybe Leonardo DiCaprio hates 9/11 so much he doesn't want to date a woman who remembers it.
Ooh.
It's a great point.
Okay. You know what could actually be part of it, too? I mean, he's been a star since he was, 10?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's an element of, these are the only people he relates to.
No, that's, I mean.
Or young people.
I know where you're going to go.
Michael Jackson.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Indiana's finest. Michael Jackson had the same thing going on.
It's not quite the same, okay? The eight, there's obviously one is, but when you take inventory from people, and this is women too. Women celebrities sometimes date much, much younger men, and it's like they can't relate to people their age.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah, it definitely happens. Some people
I'm too old for Leo, though. I'm 27.
Everyone stay legal and have fun.
Yeah, do the right thing. Do the right thing and keep it on 97.5 and 92.5 because the Killer Bees are up next. They're with you from 12 to 3. Have a good day, guys.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.